Shalom, this is Eli Rothberger. Welcome to our Insights, Daf Shavua, Insights to the Daf series, brought to you by YAPC, where we take a topic discussed in this week's Daf Shavua that we're going to be learning, and we analyze it in a little more detail, either getting an extra halachic idea or a special halachic insight from what we've been learning. This week's Daf is going to be Maseches Sota Lamed Daled, and the topic is a little effort goes a long, long way. So, if I had to describe Maseches Sota in terms of a word, I would say tangents. Sota definitely is one of those Masechtas that really just goes all over the place. And we have another example over here on Daf Lamed Daled. We were discussing about entering, how Bnei Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael, and how they wrote the Torah in different languages on the rocks. And from all this, we go through a tangent about the Meraglim, where so much of the information that we learn about the Meraglim, when we study Chumash, so much of Rashi's commentary in the beginning of the Meraglim is found from this Daf, Lamed Daled Mabez, thought we would spend a little bit of time discussing the Meraglim and to really go through a very fundamental question based on the Gemara that we have. And this fundamental question really goes and underlines the whole story. I would say it's almost a little bit like a theological type of question. And the question basically comes from where we're discussing the names of the Meraglim. Okay, so the Gemara goes through and darshans out some of the Meraglim's names. And again, you see that some of the names were given, again, these type of names, when their mothers gave their names, and they saw that there was going to be something bad about this boy, their mother didn't name their child, you know, with the assumption that they're going to be bad. Like, for example, let me give you an example that the Gemara gives. The Gemara says, we have a tradition from our forefathers, or from our fathers, Meraglim al shem maaseim nikru, the Meraglim were called based on their actions. The Anula also be adenu ela echad, we only really know one of them, Sesor ben Michael. Sesor, what did Sesor do? It comes to the word secret. Shesasar maisav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or the game is contradiction. Here it means that he contradicted or he hid it. I guess you could say either one. He hid or he contradicted the actions of Hashem. Michael shesasar atzmo mach, he made himself weak. He made as if Hashem appears to be weak. We have another one. Biyosi omer, af anunomar, nachbi ben vavsi, nachbi shehichbi devar shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem hid the words of Hashem, that he hid the words of Hashem, and Vavsi Shepisea al Midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he stomped on the Midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So again, it's not that when the mothers went ahead and were pregnant, or the fathers were pregnant, and they went ahead and gave these names, all of a sudden we're like, wow, this person's going to grow up to be a tremendous, tremendous Rasha. However, we see, once we go ahead and see this, and first I'm explaining that once we see that at the end, something happened, we see that they kind of had this potential inside of them, you know, to go ahead and do evil. Okay, so again, it starts to add the question a little bit. We'll see how it continues on. And it says, as it says in the Meraglim a little bit further, the Gemara says, Yeshua kvar bikesh Moshe lav rachamim, that Moshe, though, however, had asked for mercy for Yehoshua, when it says that Moshe called Hoshea Yehoshua, and again, there's a machlokas as to when this took place, either now or earlier, but let's just take it as, if it's now, let's say that the Pasha Peshat is that it took place right now. It says already Yehoshua. So the Marsha already asked that question and says, yes, okay, so by Amalek it talks about Yehoshua. So the Marsha says it's actually said at the Malik with the purpose that, for this purpose as well, as Kol Yeshuyach Me'atzas Meraglim, that Hashem will save you from the eights of the Meraglim. So, let's say that it happened right now. You want to say even according to the Marsha that Yeshua was named as already from the War of Amalek, which took place months before, or a little over a year before, then the basic question is, how can, number one, how can Moshe send these Meraglim? And number two, aside from that Moshe could send these Meraglim, how is it that Moshe was able to daven for Yehoshua, but he wasn't able to daven for the other ones? Meaning, if Moshe knew that this was going to be a disaster, then first of all, he shouldn't have done it in the first place. But even if he didn't know, even if he didn't know for sure it was going to be a disaster, but had a premonition, why would Moshe Rabbeinu just daven for Yehoshua as opposed to davening for the other Meraglim also? It almost seems unfair. And now today, Lahavdil, what they would do is they would have the commission come and go ahead and meet after everything was done. But of course, that's not what we're trying to go ahead and do. We don't want that to happen. We don't get 20/20 hindsight. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was kind of told us by Hashem to do so. How do we go ahead and understand this basic question of the Maragim? So, let's go ahead and refer to two psukim, one from our Gemara, and then go back to the regular story, and we'll use one of the Mefarshim and Chumash to really go ahead and cement this idea. There are really two stories of the Maragim in the Torah. One takes place in Parashat Shlach, where we have the events happening in real time, and you have Moshe Rabbeinu's recall of the events 40 years later, so to speak, or almost 40 years later. The Gemara quotes a pasuk from Parshas Devarim, and that's the Moshe Rabbeinu's recount. And the Torah says, "Vatekavune laikulchem." Moshe said, "You came to me. Atamru nishnachan hashim lefaneinu. Send men before us. The yach peru esa aretz, and go ahead and literally means search out the land for us." They use the word chafar. So, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Abba. Meraglim lo niskavnu el la bosha shel Yisrael. That the Meraglim only wanted to have the busha, as word yach peru, comes from the word chafar, means to kind of like dig out. You're kind of digging out for the dirt. And where do we see that this word chapar has refers to dubosha, to busha or boshas? So, Ksiv Hacha, as the pasuk says here, yach peru lanos aretz. And it says over there, and it says in a different pasuk over there in Sefer Yeshaya, the chafra levana uvosh v'chama, the moon will be embarrassed and the sun will be ashamed. So that's what we have over here in Sefer Devarim, where Moshe says that your key was to go ahead and do this chafira. Also, you could say it means like digging up the dirt, so to speak, literally and figuratively. But if you look in Parshas Shlach, the tzivui that Hashem goes ahead and gives to the Meraglim, Shlachan Hashem the Yasur as Eretz Kanaan, using the word latur as opposed to lachpor. So, in the first time we discussed this, I wanted to refer to the Ksav HaKabbalah, who has a long piece on this in Parshas Bishalach and Parshas Shlach. Sorry, and he really spells it out very clearly. Chafar means to look for the bad. Tur, he said, means to look for the good. As comes from the idea of a tourist, or we call now, or merchant. And basically, Kadosh Baruch Hu saw that there was a neat awareness, there was a difficulty with the Meraglim Shlichus. The Meraglim were going to be, sure, there was this negative element in Klal Yisrael that for some reason they didn't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. What the reasons were, and so many discussions. Some said they didn't want to live a regular life, they wanted to stay in the Midbar. Some say that they felt scared, but whatever the reason is, they were not excited about going into Eretz Yisrael. And even though, really, there was no need for Meraglim, as by just evidenced by the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu provided man for the entire Klal Yisrael, 40 years, for that time period until this point, which is approximately a year and a half, probably around 13 to 14 months, they could see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with them and fighting and so on. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "We are near Eretz Yisrael." There was an amount of Amunah that was expected they should have. They didn't have it at that point. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be allowed to do their shleichus, to do their shabbos. And hopefully they'll put their fears at ease. HaKadosh Baruch Hu do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very careful. It's a shabbos. And the Asura with Eretz Kanaan. You should go ahead and send the people to do a tour. And when the Torah mentions the end of the Rambam, so what is Moshe going to do? Moshe sees the issue, and he sees the command from Hashem, and says, what Moshe wants you to do, is to go ahead and not send them as Rambam, but to send them as Torah. And in order to do this, Moshe then takes 12 people who he thinks are really, really chashuv. And at the end, when the Torah mentions the names, it goes very interesting. It says, "Elish Moshe Hashem Asher Shalach Moshe LaSur Asar." These are the names that Moshe sent Latur for that specific purpose, not Latur. And then it says, "Vayishlach Osam Moshe LaSur Asar Tzman." The Moshe went ahead and also sent the specific Latur. So you see, he was very
very careful with the idea. However, we know they had different ideas. We can understand another idea in the Gemara. But the Gemara goes ahead and quotes the passage. It says, "Why move a negative?" It says that the Meravim went up himself and he came to Hebron. The Gemara is by the bony boiling. Really, it should have said, "And they came." Wasn't he came? So the Gemara says, "Meravim." This is what Kalev Malamish Shapirish called in the Asas Meravim. At that point, Kalev went ahead and separated himself from the idea of Meravim from the foot of Meravim. Halach Nishtatei Kol Kibri Avos, and he went and he davened, but the marks on the table are on both sides. He said, "My forefathers, Bakshu Bikshu Alei Rachem, should not sell me at Asas Meravim. Please go ahead and misfile." Please go ahead and be misspelled for me that I should be saved from the council of the Meravim. Very, very difficult thing. So the Kalev already recognized that there were problems. As we continue on with the story also mentions, this goes back a little bit to London, the Adam and Aleph now, where we talk about the payros that the Bnei Israel took back, and this is actually the segue into the story. So the Gemara tells us, Amar Rav Yitzchak, case of Shimona Nasu Eshkol, eight carried a cluster, Echad Nasa Rimon, Echad Nasa Teina, one carried a pomegranate, one carried a fig. And we said the Gemara goes through a whole technical discussion about how they were able to go ahead and carry the grapes. Eight people and a whole bunch of sticks. There are no less than 16 different illustrations that the Masechta Gemara brings in the back. In terms of the different Farshim, Rishonim, and Achronim, exactly how this took place. Clearly, it's a very technical issue in terms of how to do it there, but clearly, this was a whole process. But we know that Yehoshua and Kalev did not go ahead and do it. And the question is, how can they not go ahead and do it? The Gemara, the Moshe Rabbeinu says, them three of ours are supposed to take from the fruits. What happens is, we said it would come from a prior, so how is it that they didn't go ahead and take? The Gemara actually tells us, Yeshua the Kalev no not to come, they didn't take anything. Because they were important, felt they weren't necessarily on the level, and they didn't, the other Malachim didn't consider them. The covenant that they should go ahead and carry because they were on a higher level than everybody else, or because they already were not part of it, and they realized that what the Bnei Yisrael were doing, what the Meravim were doing, was that they went ahead and used the papers over here as part of a way to go ahead and show that there were a lot of issues with this, that there were a lot of issues with these papers over here. As Rashi points out, Lahavi Eshkol Meshuna Kazeh, that they brought a very unusual cluster. I mean, this wasn't the normal type of clusters. You can argue and say that, you know, and this is what Rashi is really telling us, is that Moshe Rabbeinu was told, just take a look at the regular fruits and bring back the normal fruits here. They bring something which is huge. It's like, you know, you see, we hear about records of like the county fair or the largest watermelon that's over there. It's just that's a little bit more unusual. So again, you see one of these giant watermelons in the Guinness Book of World Records, it is a little bit. They decided to go ahead and do it. Yeshua and Kalev didn't want to go ahead and do it because they saw that the Meragim switched from Lasur to like a Yak Peru or the Raglil. And the idea of the Meragim, the first time we see the word Meragim, is found in Parashas Mikates, where it says, L'rosa Tarvasa Arvasa, and you want to see the leanness. So that brings us back to our question. We see that Kalev and Yeshua spotted the problem.
Even though Moshe was confident that the people
more tough soldiers. He was already battle scarred. He might not want to have to go through this again.
Those are, though, assuming that Moshe Rabbeinu only davened for Yoshua. And the assumption is that Moshe Rabbeinu felt that the other Meraglim would be strong enough to attempt to, you know, to go ahead and avoid the temptation. The truth is, though, I saw papers brought down the name of the Maros Tahoros, which is from the Shomer Mills, that Moshe Rabbeinu really davened from all of them. It's just that Yoshua's Tefillah was the one that was the most accepted. And why was it the one that was most accepted? Because of all the Meraglim, Moshe Rabbeinu was the closest to Yehoshua. As Yehoshua was Moshe Rabbeinu's Talmud, as Lomash Mir Yoshvitam, Umeshar Sav Yoshua Mil Lomash Mir Kerva Ohel, says that in Parshas Kisisa, that Yehoshua never left the tent of Moshe Rabbeinu. He was always there helping him out. And the truth is, because Moshe Rabbeinu had that connection with Yehoshua, his tefillah was a little bit stronger. It's not that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't care about the others, but it's almost like the difference between davening for a stranger and davening for a son. There's a certain amount of feeling that's there. And what Moshe Rabbeinu was doing was telling to Yeshua, you know, so please go ahead. It's almost like his tefillah of Kal Yoshiach HaMiyasas Maragum. I know that everybody has an issue. I'm going to call you Yoshua with this idea that I want this to go ahead and stop. But you know what Moshe Rabbeinu felt? That he should daven for the Meraglim do what he did. It's just that Moshe's tefillahs for Yehoshua are more effective. And that's because Yehoshua had put in all that time working with Moshe Rabbeinu, serving Moshe Rabbeinu, getting close to Moshe Rabbeinu, to the point where that had Moshe give that extra effect. And you see over here a very important lesson. You see that the amount of effort you put in is what you get out. When you have a bond, and when you feel that there is something important, and you work with it, it's going to be a closeness. You keep up the catcher is going to endure. If you don't keep up the catcher, or you don't work to maintain the catcher is not. In Yeshua's case, it was life saving. It was history saving. And a lot of them didn't have a stronger catcher, not that it should be a fault. But because of that, Moshe Rabbeinu feels were not strong enough to go ahead and counter your feelings. But Yeshua, his feelings were strong enough to counter those feelings. So it's important to go ahead and realize that there are a lot of things that we have in life, and we have a lot of causes. And everybody goes ahead and ultimately puts their efforts on what they think are important. Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshua's thoughts for let's prioritize the relationship and the serving of my Rebbe Moshe Rabbeinu, that's what saved his life. It's always important for a person to take stock of their priorities to see what they feel is important, because ultimately, what you view as important is going to lead you to the most investment of your time and your efforts, and hopefully, you'll be able to see fruitful results like what you're shooting for. Kol Tov, have a wonderful week.